I'd like to call to order the regular City Council study session for Wednesday, April 4th. All council members are here except Ann Blair and Bob Scales that have excused absences. Are there any conflicts of interest to declare for tonight?
No. Yes. For the item on the agenda, that is the evaluation of subdivision process for critical areas. I have a financial interest in property that will be affected by that, so I will recuse myself.
Okay, thank you. Are there any additions or deletions to the agenda tonight? Mayor Lester?
In honor of April being Poetry Month, we've invited an island poet, Cindy Vandesloos, and the executive director of the Arts Humanities Council to give a very brief presentation.
Okay, and when would you like?
If we could do that immediately, maybe 3 minutes max.
Okay. Any others?
I move we accept the agenda as adjusted.
Do you have one?
I have one.
Okay.
Oh, you do? I'm sorry.
Last week there was a discussion associated with council member blogs, and I'm happy to report that it is now up and operational, and I'd like to, under council discussion, add about a five-minute presentation on how the public can go and see the views for the council people and how they can get access through the website. So if that's acceptable to everyone.
Yes.
Okay. I will now move that we accept the agenda with the two additions to it.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. The first subject tonight is the Bainbridge Island Community Center.
Actually, we were going to
briefly
do the poetry.
I'm sorry. The poetry month.
Wonderful.
Straight right here.
So I'm welcoming Barbara Sacerdoti. She's the executive director of the Arts and Humanities Council. And every April, the council celebrates April being Poetry Month with a project called Poetry Corners. So thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you for inviting us. Cindy and I are very pleased to be here to kick off the Poetry Month. You may have noticed, or you will start noticing, poetry in all the store windows around town and down in Linwood. Although I moved here many years ago, it's only lately in my new job as the Executive Director of the Arts and Humanities Council that I have become familiar with our city's comprehensive plan of 2004. And the Arts Council is very prominent in it. And what was written then remains true today. We at the Arts and Humanities Council are here to serve as a voice for the arts and humanities within the city and as the principal advisory board to the City Council. We are to foster a high level of quality, creativity, and diversity in the arts and humanities among the citizens of Bainbridge Island. Tonight, you'll hear an example of one of the ways that we foster that quality, creativity, and diversity here. Annually, we host an island-wide poetry competition, and people actually pay to enter it. And this year, I'm not sure what this says, but we received twice as many submissions as last year. More poets moved to the island, or so everybody just suddenly got much more creative than in the past. The competition was very tough, and Cindy Vandesloos rose right to the top and is one of the poets chosen for publication. We're going to be experimenting with publishing our ebook also of the poems. We've chosen her brief poem tonight because it is so closely tied to place, to our island, and to the ties that bind us to it. So, Cindy, if you would come up and say, read your poem.
Thank you. My poem is called So Long. So long I've lived near water, sea or sound, wind in the clouds, tranquility and storm form who I am. If I should leave, who will I be? They say that blood trumps water, but they've never lived beside the sea.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Now the subject is the Bainbridge Island Senior Center renovation project.
Good evening, Council. The action before you tonight, the agenda bill, is to consider award of a contract to move to the next phase of construction for the Senior Center, Bainbridge Island Community Center renovation project. This project was put in motion by prior council, and a workshop and work group, advisory group, was culminated. Mayor Lester was part of that, as were former members. So it's been a evolved process to get to this point, but we're very pleased to be at this juncture where we're going to have bids for your consideration. And the bids that we have received were received on March 20th. The staff has reviewed the bids and found them to be qualified and accurate and complete. And the apparent low bidder is Pacific Coast Development in the amount of $448,924.16. Reference checks were conducted, and we did confirm that the contractor's qualifications were conducive for this type of work. We have met and gone over the bids with the representatives from the Bainbridge Island Community Center project. And at this juncture, if council will be so moved to consider awarding this bid tonight.
Thank you. Is there a public comment?
Good evening, members of the council. My name is Don Fisher. I'm from the Fletcher Bay neighborhood, but more pertinently, I'm the president of the Senior Center. And I'm here to ask you to award this contract. This is something that has been in the making for about 7 years. I'm sure that Lance and Larry can tell you the ins and outs of the specific contract, but I can tell you that the Senior Center has also conducted a due diligence review of the contractor and what's going on, that we have the funds available in a local bank to fulfill the obligations that we have under it, which were originally, and they still are, a 50-50 basis with the city to do this project. With the completion of this, this will allow the city and the Senior Center to finalize a 40-year lease agreement that we have with you on this. And I might point out also that since we started on this, the Senior Center has done a couple of other things. We have acquired from through the Kitsap County Emergency Management and Homeland Security a Cunnings generator and a propane tank. We've paid for the fulfilling of the tank with the generator and the tank. We have ourselves paid $25,000 for the pads, the fencing around the generator and the storage tank, and all the electrical work that is done in phases one and two, which are the east wing and the commons. And we are prepared to fulfill phase three when the Senior Center remodel is done on the west wing. So that has been done. Also, the Senior Center has taken it upon themselves on the east wing to invest $25,000 to remodel that wing. So that is done. So with that said, I hope you will support us and allow us to complete this project. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Council Chair, it is with great honor and excitement that I move that the City Council approve the award to Pacific Coast Development in the amount of $448,924.16 for the Bainbridge Island Senior Community Center renovation project and authorize the acting city manager to execute the contract.
Any discussion?
Yes. I would like the senior people here representing the Senior Community Center, if you would rise, so we could say thank you. Thank you. This is one of those exciting moments when you see the community working together. The city putting up our $250,000, the Senior Community Center as well putting up funds, probably in the same amount, if not more. It was very exciting to see that the bid came in under, which means that that extra money that you guys had put aside could go towards putting in some excellent fixtures and furniture in the space. And the other thing that's super exciting is that it was a local company. And part of the reason I heard through the grapevine that they were able to come in with such a good bid is that they are hiring locally. So this is good news for all of us, for our community. These are jobs. And this is the kind of money that will be circulated back into our community. So thank you so much. And I also want to thank the committee members that worked, the ad hoc committee members. I see Tom Kilbane, Don Fisher, former council members Bill Knobloch and Kim Brackett, and the parks members. We had Jane Allen, who is the senior community program person, and Lee Cross and Kirk Robinson. It was great working and working together, and it's very exciting to have this moment. So thank you.
No further comments. All those in favor?
Aye.
It carries unanimously.
Thank you.
Okay. Lance, I guess you're up again on Department of Ecology, Municipal Stormwater.
Okay, Council, the grant funding that's before you tonight is a pass-through from Department of Ecology, and this is a set amount of funding that Ecology has been offering to the National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System Phase 2 cities throughout the state, and it's a non-competitive grant, and there is no matching component required to accept these funds. But the intent behind the money is to allow the Phase 2 cities to further their NPDES programs and help further the development of the stormwater management. So the original grant funding has paid for some of the program development, like the illicit discharge detection elimination system, and as well as technical consultations and public education and outreach. This particular funding, if council accepts it, will further those efforts and allow us to further develop the NPDES program. Questions?
No. Yeah.
You have a motion?
Community.
Oh, excuse me. Any input from the community? Seeing none, is there a motion?
I don't have my glasses. I got it. I move that the City Council accept the Department of Ecology's Municipal Stormwater Capacity Grant in the amount of $50,000 and authorize the acting city manager to execute the amendment.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you, Council.
Thank you.
The ordinance 2012-08 on the housing kitsap, and Mayor Lester was leading that discussion.
Thank you. This is a second touch with the item. I serve on the housing kitsap board, and it has come up in our discussion that possibly we could have other members of the community who have expertise or experience within the housing community, be it banking or actually serving on another housing board and or have had history with that. And so Commissioner Gelder as well had suggested that we consider broadening our board. So the two changes that are listed will be in Section 1 And I'm suffering because I left my glasses at home, but I will try to read this. Section 1A says that the elected members of the Board of Commission shall be the Board of County Commissioners of Kitsap County, the Mayor of Port Orchard, Washington, the Mayor of Poulsbo, Washington, and the Mayor of Bainbridge Island. And here is the change. Or such person in the elected officials from those jurisdictions may appoint to serve their place. The Mayor of Bainbridge Island is authorized to serve as a member of the board, or the City Council of Bainbridge Island may appoint another individual to serve on the board in his or her place. And the other change is also noted on page 9, is item 3. If the City Council has appointed an individual to serve on the board in place of the mayor, the individual shall continue to serve on the board until the end of the mayor's term in office, unless removed by the City Council at the City Council's discretion or removed for cause pursuant to law or the bylaws of the board. So those are the two changes that will be moved forward if you approve this. Councilmember Hytopoulos.
Great. Oops. The language still troubles me. I'm not sure why are we highlighting the mayor instead of just saying a city council person.
That is the language that it has always stated, that the mayor typically serves on this board.
Right.
Or we're changing it here that the council may appoint either a council member.
Right.
Or an different individual.
So it said mayor originally because we had a strong mayor form of government. And since we've had this form of government, we have expressed very mm-hmm. clearly that all positions are equal,
mm-hmm.
that the mayor's position is limited to the bare minimum required by law.
Right.
You were at the meeting where we first decided that.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand that in the other jurisdictions, because they have mayors, they would have that language, but there's no reason for us to have that language. It shouldn't be presumptive. We've gone so far as to, even though the RCWs say that the mayor appoints committee members, we've gone so far as to have three random council members, actually make the recommendation the full council appoint. So I'm just troubled by, it feels like we're moving away from that concept.
So this was brought up last week. We directed our legal to make the change. Was that your specific, was it not given to Will, or?
I guess what I heard made clear that at the time that we're talking about a city council person and not.
So do you have a suggested change? How would you like the language to read, or if you would be so kind as to send it back with a specific language that you would like it to say?
Well, if we want to have a policy conversation about what the role of the mayor is, this new council may consider the role of the mayor something different. I just want to be sure that we're doing what we've said we're doing. So I have no problem, you know, I'm the only person that's spoken here, so if you don't agree with me, that's fine. But so far, you didn't even want to call the mayor. You wanted to call the person chair, and we were told we had to call the mayor. So this, to me, is making a statement.
I mean, this language appears to move away from focusing on the mayor and more towards the council appointing an alternative to the mayor to this, and that would seem to fulfill your desire.
It moves slightly away, but there's no reason it shouldn't say something along the lines of that any council member is authorized to serve as a member of the board, just like we've done in all of our regional representations since we've begun this form of government.
So would you be willing to work with Will to make sure that the language reflects what you wish, and we can bring this back? It's to you, Councilmember Hightower.
Yeah, I know. I just that's fine. I think it's pretty simple that it can be. I defer to Will. I mean, remove the mayor, put in city council person. And I'm sure that's what it must be in other jurisdictions. So
I'm totally comfortable with that.
That's
whatever.
Fine. I'll redraft it. Although I think the idea is that the representative of Bainbridge Island on the Kitsap Housing Board be a consistent member at least for a year.
Mm-hmm.
So not just any council member, but a designated council member.
So that's how we are in all of our regional boards, and some of them are even 2-year commitments. So all of them are 1 year or more commitments, and they're being filled by all members of council. So
if we were to take the word the mayor and substitute the word a city council member, that would totally correct
unless you all want to have a conversation about redefining where we've been for the last 2 years, which you're welcome to do.
So I think what happened is last week a change was requested. Bob, I think, requested that a change be made because it said that the mayor would appoint a citizen.
Right.
And that change was made. I don't think that, because now it says the city council will appoint someone. And I think that the point you're bringing up just wasn't, no one brought it up last week. And I don't think that there's any intent here to change, I don't think there's any intent in this reading. I think that that was just an oversight. Because a change was made from last week.
Right. So just to be absolutely clear, I'm in no way suggesting there's been an intent. I'm only asking that the language be clarified to reflect what the council's intent with regards to the mayor's role has been so far. So no, I don't by any means think that somebody's intentionally inserted language to contravene what I asked for. Thanks.
So if we take your suggestion, what I heard was that the language be changed to and the Bainbridge Island City Council member, or would that work for you? And we can make that change here.
Sure.
Okay.
City Council. I
Bainbridge Island City Council member.
I just wanted to say any city council person.
Because it also picks up down here. Why don't we let Will go? Yeah. And
okay. So if you could bring this back, and we'll hopefully approve this next week.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there a public comment? Okay. Thank you. Do we need to vote on this one or just let it go?
I believe you need a motion if you'd like to move it to second reading.
Okay.
Would you like to make that motion?
Sure. I move that we move ordinance number 2012-8 for second reading, that we schedule it for second reading on April 11th.
Thank you. Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. And the next item on the agenda is evaluation of subdivision process for critical areas. And Sarah Blossom will recuse herself from this discussion.
Hello, welcome.
Good evening, Council. Thank you. 2 weeks ago, I brought forward a memo to the Council regarding some planning issues for your potential discussion. It's my understanding that at last week's meeting, the Council made their intent known that they would like to further evaluate one of the issues on that memo, in particular, evaluate the process related to subdivisions for properties encumbered by critical areas. The memo that I drafted in the packet outlines some of the items that we would discuss in a further analysis of this issue, as well as some dates upon which the Council might wish to consider this issue, specifically either before or after our kind of major planning event of the next couple of months, which is the Shoreline Master Plan update. I believe there would be time on the City Council study session and regular business meetings on the 2nd and the 9th at the beginning of May if you wish to further evaluate it then, or later in the year in August. So we're looking for some direction from you about the timing for this potential discussion, as well as if you have any questions or suggestions about things you'd like to see in that analysis.
Okay. Discussion?
Attorney.
Yeah, my understanding is that the level of effort to proceed on this is fairly low. Is that a correct impression?
Yes, we'll probably prepare a 2 or 3 page analysis for the council discussion. Probably be best to have it at a study session so that you can ask questions of that analysis.
Okay.
So is May 2nd a study session?
I believe so.
Okay. I move that the council direct the administration to prepare the information regarding the subdivision in critical areas for a May 2nd study session.
Second.
Discussion.
Community.
Well, yeah. Is there community input? Discussion. Council? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Carries unanimously. We're going to make up for going an hour over last week. Okay, moving on to council discussion. First item is the Arbor Day proclamation.
Yes, and I want to thank Steve Morse for bringing this forward. Steve is actually working with us on the tree ordinance committee, so it's very appropriate that he brought this forward. And basically this proclamation, I will... the city of Bainbridge Island has been recognized as a tree city by the Arbor Day Foundation since 2003, and the celebration of Arbor Day is one of the requirements for a tree city. And so I would like to make a motion. I move to approve Mayor Lester signing the proclamation declaring Wednesday, April 11th, 2012, as Arbor Day.
Second.
Community discussion? Input? Council discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Carries unanimously. The next subject, I'm sorry.
I just double-checked what I'd heard in the past, which concerns me, which is what the Tree City standards are, and I may be missing something.
Okay.
But we'd heard in the past from citizens that you need to have a tree ordinance in order to qualify. And it just concerns me that the requirements are a tree board or department, a tree care ordinance, a community forestry program with an annual budget of at least $2 per capita, and then Arbor Day observance and proclamation. So I just wonder if, as a council, we might want to review, if we should still declare it Arbor Day, but review whether we should be accepting status as a tree city.
Certainly.
Okay. Excellent. Okay, so what's the, is that an action for the city staff to go and
In agenda setting, I would like to address the tree ordinance.
Oh, okay.
So maybe we could wrap it into that.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay. The next subject is city manager search, I'd like to lead that discussion. There are two items. This is an update on the city manager's search. The first item is that last week there was a motion made to invite five search firms to give a presentation on the 10th of April, and we've heard back from those five, and four out of the five have agreed to participate in that presentation. Four are SGR, Proffman, Afron, and the Mercer Group. The one thing I'd like to discuss a little bit with council is we probably ought to have a random selection of order on the day that they arrive, so that to make that appropriate. The other question I have is some of the experience I've had with respect to doing this kind of interviewing is having a fixed set of questions that each of the firms would respond to. I'm not sure if that's, one, is our intent, and two, if we were to do that, normally the way that's done in other venues is that the other respondents don't hear what the first or second or third respondent does, which means that they are out of the room. And I don't know if on the kind of open dialogue that we have, whether we can do that. So I'd like question for you if we can do it in that fashion.
Yeah, I think you can choose to do it in any fashion you want. So it's up to you whether you want to have standardized questions that they know in advance so that the people who come first aren't disadvantaged by listening to the questions and thinking about them over a longer period.
Okay.
Or you can exclude the other applicants from the room when you're talking about it. I think this is wide open to whatever you feel is the...
Okay, so one, we can exclude the other applicants from the room if we want. Okay. So the question to council then is, do we want to have a mix of prepared questions, or do we just want to do it in an ad hoc fashion? And that's open for discussion. Yes.
I mean, unless we're going to sit here for a while, it doesn't seem like we have the time to prepare questions. You have the pretty detailed RFP,
mm-hmm.
and obviously, as we've already discussed, we're going to want to probably drill down into why they have or have not met that so far. And I would just ask them to present, you know, as to how they meet what we've already proposed.
That part I understand, but it's the questions and answers. Mm-hmm. You know, if on the half hour, they're going to have a 15 minutes for a presentation, and then we get to ask questions. Sometimes the questions are the same to each of the candidates, or sometimes you can go and just say, well, this particular candidate, I'm more interested in this than that because they covered. So that was trying to get a sense of the council on the way that they wanted to approach that, or a combination.
Yeah. You know, in my experience, the presentations themselves will drive what questions we have of that particular company, because the presentations are all going to be somewhat different, even though they're on the same topic. And I'd like us to have the freedom to generate our own questions based on the okay. presentation. And I do think it's a good idea to have the companies that haven't presented yet wait outside the council okay. chambers.
Okay. Excellent. So that's how we'll handle the interviews. What I'd like for city staff to do would be helpful. I know that all of the proposals are online. I think it would be helpful to have each of the city council members have a hard copy of each of the proposals tabs, so that when individual respondent is up there, we've got a place to take notes or whatever. That's I think would be helpful to do it in that fashion.
Yep. I think we can make that arrangement, sure.
Okay.
Or at least I think one of them was fairly large, though, wasn't it? Like 200?
I haven't reviewed all of the pages, but the proposals, but if they're excessively long, perhaps we can find
like
an executive summary or something
yeah,
like
something.
That.
That would be great.
Yeah, but you understand what we're trying to accomplish so that we
sure.
Okay.
Would you like to open it up to the community?
There's a second subject, and that is, as of last week, the ad hoc committee was asked to come back in within 2 weeks and make a recommendation where we considered outside city manager as well as Morgan Smith as a having her assume that responsibility. What the ad hoc committee has done in the interim is put that information together, and we met in not in a physical meeting. We had a couple of phone calls and a bunch of emails, and Ann Blair, who is in Hawaii, prepared a summary of the recommendation. I'd like to read what Ann put together. Yes?
Before you do that, I just want to comment, and I think I expressed this to you earlier individually. It concerns me this item is going on the agenda, because as I recall, I'm sorry I've been out not able to check the meeting, but as I recall at the last meeting, and I know as Bob recalls the last meeting, we were going to do not within 2 weeks, we're going to do 2 weeks because we're missing two city council members this week. So to proceed with any substantive decisions this week and or discussion doesn't seem appropriate, and the agenda reads city manager information only.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. With respect to that, I believe that what the ad hoc committee discussed was in 2 weeks, because there was also an intent to get on with the assignment of an interim city manager, that we wanted to provide an opportunity in that at that two-week period to make a decision. And to do that, it was felt that we looked at and evaluated the different options and present those options to the council now for consideration in a week's period of time. And part and parcel to that was in reading through this, not to jump ahead, but it's the council's recommendation that we ask the an outside interim candidate to come and be interviewed at the same time that we have a discussion for what process that we want to use in terms of going forward. If we were to wait until a week from now to make a general discussion and then go through a process to then put an interim, if we decide to go to an outside interim, it'll add another week or two to the process. So the idea was to have that discussion, not have a not have the discussion today, but have an open discussion and be able to evaluate what the options are. And the only way to do that is to have the candidate that the ad hoc committee is recommending there and have an opportunity for the rest of council to interview that. Yes.
So my concern is that what you're saying doesn't make a lot of sense, and that this really becomes a fait accompli with regards to the fact that we're going this direction, and really that this is the person we're going to select, because we haven't had, at our last meeting, Sarah said she didn't even know while she sat, until she sat up here, that Morgan had said she was willing to serve, for example. And I asked you, would you please, when you go back to the committee, would you please at least consider the possibility of retaining our existing deputy as manager? And so we actually haven't come back and had the substantive conversation as a council with the before the community taking comment on whether or not we're going to go with an outside, very expensive interim city manager or use our in-house person that's here. But what you're saying is we'll have that conversation next week, but right now we're going to decide to pay for and bring up here an interim from a potential candidate from Arizona to be on the agenda next week. So it doesn't really seem consistent with the idea that we were going to come back with your recommendation on the 11th and have a conversation as a body. And I would just add, I don't see the urgency. If there was urgency, it's when there's urgency we do things like this. But all we're doing is saving, what, $6,300 for the week, the additional week that we don't have this interim. And so I'm just not seeing the urgency.
I would suggest that you hear the recommendation from the committee. I think it addresses some of the issues you're talking about. And I do feel a sense of urgency in terms of moving forward with appropriate haste on getting this carefully evaluated and decision made, and that the proposed schedule here is entirely consistent with what was asked for. So,
well, I have definitely read the materials that were sent to us this morning. Thanks.
Any other? Okay. Then I would still like to go through and read the city manager search subcommittee recommendation regarding the identification of an interim city manager. The ad hoc committee, comprised of Dave Ward, Steve Bunkowski, and Ann Blair, met and discussed the requirements of an interim city manager. We first outlined the responsibilities of an interim city manager based on the job description that the council approved as part of the permanent manager search process. We also discussed our hopes and best judgment about an interim's expected management style, and we agreed that the interim city manager should not be sought to serve as a change agent. Rather, we support maintaining steady, stable executive leadership, and as well as possibly utilizing the management structure and personnel. We believe those conditions will best be met by an interim city manager who is experienced both as a city manager and as an interim city manager. Additionally, should current known or unknown issues arise, we hope to assure that the existing management team and staff would have an experienced city manager for guidance and problem-solving expertise. We recommend appointing a city manager who has experience in training in public management practices, including finance, human resources, labor negotiations, planning, economic development, community relations, organizational management, and communications. The interim also should have a management and oversight experience with personnel policy, supervising and directing, and negotiating and administrating of any collective bargaining agreements, administrating labor relations, reviewing any and all disciplinary actions prior to appeal or arbitration process, and assessing staffing levels and effectiveness. Recognizing that Morgan is willing to be considered as interim manager and that her offer had the support of council members, we reviewed her background. It was clear to us that she had relevant leadership roles in public agency planning and finance. In her role as deputy city manager for the city of Bainbridge Island, the ad hoc committee believes she has demonstrated the following important and relevant skills to serve as an interim city manager: planning effective long-range financial planning, implementing and maintaining adequate financial controls, coordinating and assuring the City Council receives accurate and timely financial reports, rigorously monitoring and forecasting revenues and expenditure, maintaining projects within timeline and budget restraints, and demonstrating integrity, fairness, and impartiality when making decisions or working with Council and staff. The committee is concerned that Morgan seems to lack leadership experience in the following important and relevant areas: managing the full day-to-day operation and service delivery effective for all of the city departments, including police, planning, public works, utilities, legal, information technology, and the municipal court; leading the labor negotiations with city unions and the guild; dealing with organizational and disciplinary problems across the organization, and taking action when and where necessary; effectively handling citizen complaints and inquiries; working proactively with various media outlets; and working with the city attorney to develop alternatives to new legal challenges to the city. Based on these observations and concern, the ad hoc committee concluded the city would best be served by contracting with an experienced interim city manager. Subsequently, the city contacted various professional sources, including Association of Washington Cities, MRSC, as well as Greg Proffman, to identify possible candidates who met our criteria and who were available to serve the city in the near term. After talking with currently employed city managers in nearby cities to hear their impressions and thoughts about the various suggested candidates, we narrowed the field and reviewed the resume of two candidates, Stan McNutt and Michael Caldwell. Both men appear to have the desired characteristics and qualifications. We interviewed Mr. McNutt and Mr. Caldwell by phone. After the interviews, the committee determined that Stan McNutt's prior experience, as well as his stated preference to work where he would be called upon to act as a change agent, would not be a good fit for Bainbridge Island at this time. By contrast, Michael Caldwell had broad experience as an interim city manager in a variety of strong city manager/council cities. He impressed the subcommittee with how his background, skills, and sensitivity seemed to match those outlined by the ad hoc. So the recommendation was to invite Michael Caldwell for an interview with the full council for consideration as interim city manager. That's a recommendation. It's not a fait accompli, as I think Kirsten has characterized it. It does, however, mean that the city would pay for him to come up and spend a couple of days. I think from my perspective, we on city council know Morgan Smith. We know what she can do and how she has dealt with us and how she has dealt with the city. What we don't know is how an interim manager would deal with the city. And I think unless we can see that in person, I don't think you can make a good judgment based on resumes, because that's really all you're looking at. And so that was the rationale for having making the recommendation that he come up here for a interview, so the entire council, the public, and the city staff can say this is appropriate for what we need or it isn't. We've gone through and it's attached. what some of the financial impacts are, the financial impact is within the budget that was originally outlined and presented to the council back in the early February timeframe, I believe. So, I mean, that was the rationale for the proposing it at this time, so that part of that discussion is you've got something to talk about rather than a nebulous thing, which is an outside interim city manager. So, discussion, public comment.
I move we invite Michael Caldwell to meet the council and staff on the 11th of April with a travel budget not to exceed $1,500.
Second.
Discussion.
I just want to say I appreciate the three council members taking the time to go through this process. I believe Van was in Hawaii, so taking time out of her vacation to interview the candidates that had been narrowed down, and I'm looking forward to asking questions, and potentially this might be a way to move forward, and so I support this motion.
So I just want to clarify, I'm going to be voting no, because as I said, I think the process is in the incorrect order and not fair to those not present. But that does not mean, of course, when he's here, I won't be listening to him and open to hearing what he has to say, but I do feel that I need to vote no for that reason. Yeah. Thanks.
Question.
All those in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed? Motion carries 4-1. If we could put up the next thing on the agenda, is I wanted to spend a couple of minutes showing the public that we actually have a blog-like thing on the city website.
Blog-like thing.
It's not a blog. It's blog-like. You can see there are two areas that are circled. You can see on the left-hand side it says Council Member View, and up if you do under Government and under the City Council, there is another button for council member review. Hitting either one of those will then result in getting to this page that talks about the council member views, that they are indeed individuals, individual positions, and that a notice that a response is made by email that will not be posted, but it is, like all emails into the city, subject to Public Records Act. And on the bottom, you see the underline for the seven city council members. And if you click on any one of those, you come to this list, this page, and sometime within the next week, some of us will have something on there to say. And so it is operational, and I applaud the city staff for doing that in such a timely fashion. And I think I believe that the public will get benefit out of it in terms of being able to see beforehand what some of the views would be. I know from my standpoint, it was a tool that I used in the past to say this is my view. Getting feedback from individuals many cases changed my view, and then I got to repost. So I think it provides that kind of an opportunity for the public to impact what the city council members' positions are and what they're doing. I think we're now up to review of the upcoming council meeting agendas.
Thank you. That's me. I believe you have in front of you a couple of agendas for upcoming meetings. The first one is for Tuesday, April 10th, next Tuesday, starting at 5:30 in the afternoon. You just spoke about randomly selecting the order of the presentation, so we'll need to work with you on how that should look, and can reorder this if perhaps we just won't have times on there. I think we have spoken so far with the various groups, and they understand that they, you know, the timing, and then I imagine we'll be in contact with them through the week. After the 2 hours of presentations, we have currently allotted an hour for council discussion and decision with an adjournment at 8:45. Okay, if that looks good, we'll move on to the next day, Wednesday, April 11th. This is a regular city council meeting, with the first item being a presentation on conflict of interest from Thomas Brubaker, the city attorney from Kent, assuming that that's been confirmed, Mayor Lester?
Okay. Yes.
Public comment. We have second readings of two ordinances, one on plastic bags and then the housing ordinance, which you just moved to second reading. We are suggesting an executive session of about 30 minutes, if that meets with your approval.
Mm-hmm.
And then have two discussion items, the police management study report from the ad hoc committee and a city manager search update, which is sort of a standing item, and then the consent agenda and review of upcoming council meetings agendas. Is there anything that anyone would like to add to that or reorder?
Well, we added the that interview of Michael Caldwell.
Oh, indeed. And where would you like to see that?
That would be part of the city manager search.
So schedule that for 9 o'clock for about how long?
Well, the city manager search actually, on because it's the prior night, we're going to be making a decision on which executive search firm. So I would assume then that this would be the time that we would then get into discussion with respect to the interim city manager.
Okay. And how long would you like to allot for that discussion?
Probably an hour. I don't know if, what the rest, if you look at a an interview and a discussion, does that seem right or does that seem long?
That sounds like a pretty good estimate. That would have your adjournment scheduled for 10:30 p.m.
That part I heard.
So you could either move some items that are currently scheduled on that night, or you'd just be looking at two longish meetings in a row.
Is there anything that we could take up earlier?
Well, I believe that the code states that the meetings start at 7 o'clock.
Ah, okay.
But we were starting at
6:30
with that workshop.
Yeah, because it's a presentation workshop. I think it's okay.
Okay. Is there any chance that our executive session could start prior to the workshop?
I think
Councilmember Scales can arrive by 5:30. I don't know how long did you schedule?
It's 30 minutes right now.
Oh, so if we started at 6 with an executive session, that would give us...
If people are there, yes.
Okay.
Good idea.
Okay, that would move you to a much earlier 10 o'clock ending adjournment.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. All right, and then turning to the long range... I heard, Kirsten, you mentioned the tree ordinance, so let me know where you'd like to, when we get to the date, you'd like to see that.
Oh, okay.
Or just tell me now.
Well, I think this is, I had to defer to administration, but ask for some expedience. It would be good for us to have an update, because where we left it, I understood that we were using remaining funds from the code update for a consultant to hurry up and finish the tree ordinance so we had something on the books. In the meantime, we were absent certain vegetative management. Regulations.
Yes. I can give you an update right now.
Oh, good. Okay, this may help.
So we're waiting. Kelly's already sent, asked the questions of
Clarion.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just waiting for a response from them. We've met a few times, and as soon as she hears back, we'll meet again. And so what we plan to do, if the council wishes, is bring an interim ordinance instead of addressing everything.
Yeah.
It wants to bring an interim ordinance to get some issues addressed quickly and then go back and look at the rest of it.
That takes care of one of two code issues that concern me. I know, you know, Stephen has brought forward the liquefaction issue. And of those issues that were brought forward, I think that was one of them, of the cleanup sort of issues.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of went quickly over last time. Or
mm-hmm.
There's one that of critical importance that I think the council has touched off and on over the last year, which is that the zoning on Winslow Way currently allows residential development to be 100% residential, and so there's potential for a real impact on our downtown. I would like to see about bringing that forward with council's permission because of the potential impact.
Okay, I'll bring that to Kathy and Chris and see.
And
what
Kathy's very familiar with that.
Of course,
thanks.
Is there a time that you would want to see that?
I would just like to hear from her when they could get to that.
Okay.
And I think it could be a relatively simple change.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you. On April 18th, we have the eagerly awaited 2012 annual roads program update scheduled. Along with that, a Port Madison-Merton Cove shoreline survey interlocal agreement for your consideration, a contract amendment and grant item from the planning department, and then the standing item for the city manager search.
Yes. With the 2012 annual roads program update, I would love to broaden that to be transportation infrastructure. We have a couple grant opportunities coming up for non-motorized, and it would be great to have a more broader transportation infrastructure conversation.
Okay.
If possible, or simply highlight on that we also talk about the non-motorized opportunities.
That would be good. I know that grant has been mentioned a couple of times before, and we haven't received definitive council direction on how they'd like staff to proceed, so that might be a natural time to have that conversation.
Ellen, can you address the shoreline grant and contract amendment? Is that something brand spanking new, or is this a continuation of like Rockaway?
My understanding of this is additional money related to a grant that we already have, and that it will allow us to receive that money and also amend the contract that is using that money, and I am not remembering at this juncture what the grant is for.
Okay, but it's an add-on to something.
It's an add-on to something we are
right,
currently doing. Similar in some ways to the grant that we discussed earlier today,
mm-hmm.
where it's a continuation of ongoing work.
Okay, thank you.
On April 25th, we have the ordinance to extend, consideration of the ordinance to extend the HDDP sunset date on the calendar, and then the only other item currently scheduled for that is the city manager search update. Yes.
So Councilmember Blair Hytopoulos and I, we received a request to provide a letter of support for the Kitsap Forest and Bay Project grant application, and it was suggested prior to writing a letter of support that it would be great to actually have Commissioner Rob Gelder and the Executive Director of Great Peninsula Conservancy, Sandra Staples-Bortner, actually come in and give us a presentation so we can understand more about this project and to move forward with a letter of support. The grant application is due May 1,
mm-hmm.
so if we could look at either the 18th or the 25th, having them come in to give that presentation would be
okay. Would you be scheduling that and you'd let us know?
I can do that, certainly.
Okay,
thank you.
It's Kitsap Forest and Bay, is that the right?
Yes.
Okay. It looks to me like there is room on either agenda.
Okay.
For that.
Ellen, I'd like to go back to the 11th for a second.
Sure.
The plastic bag ordinance that's on there is in there for 15 minutes, and it also talks about a public comment period.
Mm-hmm.
Is it expected to have, the last time we did public comment, it was hour and a half of public comment.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't all the bag ordinance. But, yeah, I mean, who knows? These are those things you just don't know. You don't know if people feel like I've said what I've said, and we have 5 minutes,
that
we have an hour.
It was, because that was, I mean, it was a very long period. I just want to make sure that.
I saw that, and I mean, that's why the meeting will be as flexible as it is.
Yeah.
I mean,
okay.
We just,
all right.
That is, there's the potential for that, and yeah. Because it's a public hearing, we need to hear people.
Right.
So.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Moving on to May, I heard you ask earlier today for the evaluation of the subdivision process to be added to the May 2nd agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there are the quarterly financial information comes there, financial reports and budget adjustments for your consideration. We have a presentation scheduled for the Kitsap Economic Development Alliance, consideration of a contract for shoreline monitoring, appointments to the Historic Preservation Commission, and then the standing city manager search item. Yes.
So actually, just running back real quick to April 25th, though this
sure.
may be premature, either April 25th or May 2nd, on one of those, are we going to be receiving the recommendation for the request for proposals for the swim rate issue? Or is that going to happen in here? Or?
Believe that is on May 9th.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't look far enough ahead.
Indeed, it is on May 9th.
Okay. Excellent.
We would have the second look at the budget adjustments, an update from Public Works on the Eagle Harbor beach mains replacement, the second consideration of the shoreline monitoring professional service contracts, another look at the ordinance for the HDDP sunset date, and then the city manager search update, rounding out May 9th. May 16th, you can see we have some presentations scheduled for Public Works, and then the SMP special meetings begin to be scheduled on Tuesdays every other week, and some other small items further on in May. Yes?
Council, I did get a request from the mayor of Poulsbo. We have a potential collaboration coming up with the intersection at 305 Agate Pass Bridge in Suquamish Way, and she was suggesting that possibly we hold, similarly to what we did with the previous council, hold a joint council meeting with the city of Poulsbo. They would host this time. We hosted it last time. And it would be to discuss certainly that particular item as well as other potential items for collaboration. And I bring it forward. She was suggesting sometime either the first or second week of May. And we might consider either doing a special Tuesday meeting or probably a Tuesday meeting would be best so that we can continue with our business. So, Councilmember Haitopoulos?
So could you give a little more idea about what this proposal is? I mean, so...
Do you want specifically the intersection
mm-hmm.
issue? Certainly, Senator Rolfes and House Representatives Sherry Appleton and Drew Hansen were very successful in receiving transportation funding. It's in the transportation budget. It's $750,000, and that money is specifically to address public safety and congestion issues at the Agate Pass Bridge, Suquamish Way, and Highway 305. And it would be great to have us come together and start looking at, well, where how that money should be directed, and we have interlocal agreements that we'll need to sign, and it would be a great kind of first step to figuring out how that should be directed.
Thanks.
It's very exciting news. It was fantastic that Senator Rolfes and our House of Representatives Appleton and Hansen, we had a meeting way back in January. We had made commitment as a body to pull some of the TransPol money that we had for non-motorized towards addressing some of those public safety issues. And what was very exciting is following the meeting, maybe 2 months later, Senator Rolfes and Appleton and Hansen had actually gone and worked to get that money, a larger amount of money. We had only put aside $50,000, and so it was very exciting that they came back with this commitment of $750,000. So we're making progress, and I think it would be great to actually have us all sit down and talk about how to go forward.
So my concern would be, when would this be?
First, second week of May.
like on a Tuesday?
So
we're not starting SMP yet.
We're just having a lot of Tuesday meetings now. Mm-hmm. I was just looking at, so we're going to have ward meeting on the first on a Tuesday. Next week we're going to have a Tuesday meeting. And then when do we start the every other Tuesdays?
The 22nd.
May 22nd. I mean, I'm just plotting that out on a calendar. That's an awful lot of two meeting weeks. I don't know. I mean, quite frankly, I would like to not add any more Tuesday meetings. So I don't know if there's any other way. I don't know what your timeline is. I don't know if it's something we could push out, if it's something that could be done at a subcommittee level. I don't know. Well, but we can't do this every Tuesday, and it's looking really pretty dense. I mean.
Well, is there a council meeting in May that you guys would mind traveling to Poulsbo, as Poulsbo did previously? They came here, and we had the discussion about the court, and there are other things that I think that might come up. Mm-hmm. So, Council, I look to you in terms of what we have ahead of us. May 2nd looks full. May 9th looks full. Shall I?
May 16th looks like a possible.
I believe that we would want to hold the award for the asphalt repairs to allow us to go forward, to move forward with those
mm-hmm.
roads projects.
Mm-hmm. So if you wouldn't mind, I'll touch base with Mayor Erickson and see if there's any kind of flexibility. Maybe they could come here for a short part of our meeting. Okay, thank you.
I think one of the other options is there a way at a study session, because we can start a study session early, and do our work here and then go over there at like 8 o'clock, be there at 8 o'clock for an hour or two to talk about those specific topics, so you don't get into the.
I guess at some point it seems like we kind of have to decide what we're doing. You know, we can't do everything. Mm-hmm. And it's a great idea. It would be great to have a joint meeting for diplomacy and building a relationship. But on the other hand, I'm sure that council is not having every other Tuesday meetings in addition to their Wednesday meetings. And so it seems like the sort of thing that, for that particular issue, that a smaller representation could handle, or that it could be an item on our agenda. So I feel like we're getting spread kind of thin with all of these, you know, obligations that we have coming up.
So if you wouldn't mind if I go back and just find out if there are other topics, or if it's that limited one specifically that Mayor Erickson wanted to focus on.
Sure.
If that's the case, possibly we can invite them here for a time period during a study session and keep it short.
That
okay?
Fine. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Finishing that for the we are up to for the good of the order.
I have a few things, but I always anyone else? Well, I want to thank. I want to go ahead and thank Councilmember Bunkowski, Senator Rolfes, Commissioner Kitsap County Commissioner Rob Gelder, Patty Groff Hoke, who is the Executive Director of the Kitsap Visitors Bureau, and Andy Mackin, who is the Executive Director of the Bainbridge Island Downtown Association. They hosted an event of reporters from India, travel reporters, and very exciting news is that we were featured in Outlook India, which has a small print run of 1.5 million publications distributed. So that is now out in the world, both print and online as well. So look up Outlook India, and we are mentioned in the article that is talking about coming to the Northwest and visiting Seattle. So thank you for being the host, Steve. I appreciate that. That was great. First Friday Art Walk is this Friday. That's from 6 to 8. The galleries stay open late, and you have a chance to meet our local artist and see local talent.
There is a movie next Tuesday, April 10th, Louder Than a Bomb. And this is a documentary. It's a free viewing in honor of April being Poetry Month. And it's a documentary about high school students preparing for the National Poetry Slam. And then finally, Let's Build a Park. On Thursday, April 12th, Bainbridge High School Library at 7 p.m., there is the second review of preliminary designs for the Citizens Park at the corner of 305 and Winslow Way. And architect John Paul Jones will be presenting some designs and wanting to get the feedback from the community responding to those two designs he's bringing forward. I forgot to mention that the movie is at 5 p.m. at Linwood Theater. So thank you.
No further business. The meeting's now adjourned.